say amen. All right, let's look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Now, we started this last time. It's called The Power of What?
Love.
What love got to do with it? Praise God. Everything. All right, let's start reading at verse 34. And he says here, but when the Pharisees, just a minute, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I think we talked about that. We opened up with it last time. If you weren't here, you do yourself good by getting the CD or tape or whatever. All right, let's go to the next place. Let's go to John chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Still talking on the subject of love. It's kind of interesting. We just passed Valentine's Day, right? Okay. Show some love, right? All right. I'm going to start reading here at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love, what? One for another. Now, this is not a suggestion by Jesus. This is a command. And he calls it a new commandment, or as he referred to it over in Matthew 22, the law. It's a new law. Now, when you say law in the Old Testament, you're speaking and referring to the first five books of the Bible, which we called in the Hebrew the Pentateuch. Now, those are the first five books that you have in the Bible, and they outline the law. So, people under the old covenant were natural. They were natural people. They were not like you, born again, spirit-filled. They weren't. They were people who did not have God in them. They had God with them, but he wasn't in them. You've got God in you. Isn't that something? So the Christianity is the only faith where the one who is worshiped is inside of the worshiper. Now, this natural man, God dealt with him or her through what we call natural rules and regulations. That's why he had to deal with them like that, because they were natural. Now, if we could just fast forward for just a moment and go to Romans chapter 1, chapter 8, in verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. Okay? Now, another place he said that in 1 John, if you put it up there, please, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, he talks about that again. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the what? Sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it kneweth him not. Next verse, please. Beloved, now are we the who? Sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We'll be just like him. So everything God has in him, we have in us. And one of the things that he is, his whole nature, is love. Now, where do we get it from? If Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Over chapter Romans chapter 5, verse 5. He says here, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So where is the love of God? It's in our hearts. Now, he put it there, and it's a part of our being now. Now, he couldn't do that with the Old Testament group because Jesus had not yet died. So he couldn't come and live in that vessel. But you and I, when Jesus died through the blood, God was able to come in and live in us. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, this was prophesied in the Old Testament. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 31, over in Jeremiah chapter 31, and starting at verse 31, he says here, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them from by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I'll write it in their hearts, and I will be their God," come on, "and they shall be my people," keep going, "and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." Now, underline that last part. We're going to deal with that before we get done. So, back to John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35, mainly verse 34. He is saying here that there's a new commandment I'm going to make with you. Now, he made an old commandment with the old group over in the Old Testament. And if you look at Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18, I know I have you turned to a lot of scriptures. You can just write them down. I think you can still be happy. It says this, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God." So it's interesting. He gave him some commandments. But he gave them some commandments, and mainly what we call the Ten Commandments. So he gave them the Ten Commandments. Now, what is he saying? Jesus is saying, wait a minute, there's a new commandment I'm giving you. Now, what is happening with this new commandment? This new commandment is going to come in and supersede the old commandment. All right, are the old commandments still there? Yep. Is the new commandment coming in? Yes, it is. Now, because the new commandment fulfill the old commandment. So, because it fulfilled the old commandment, it was called a better commandment. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, please. Over in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, he says this, glory to God, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a," what? "Better covenant, which is established," what? "Upon better promises." Now, look at Hebrews chapter 8, and starting at verse 7, let's go and read just a bit here and just see what he says. Let me turn to it here in my Bible, read it out of there. Chapter 8, and starting reading at verse 7. I'll start it again. For if the first covenant hath been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, saith the Lord, that I will pour out my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be unto them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So what happens here is this new covenant is taking the place of the old, and it is taking the place of the old, and it makes it so now that you don't have to follow commandments. You have to follow a commandment, singular. Why? Because this one commandment, if you keep that commandment, you won't break the commandments. Boy, is this making sense to you here? So if we're talking about thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not kill or murder, or thou shalt not covet another man's wife, if you walk in love, you won't do those things. Now understand what God is doing. He's bringing you back up to where he is. All right? So as I look at this, this law of love now is written basically in our hearts. And God is the one that put it there. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31, please. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 33. We didn't read that yet, did we? Okay. Jeremiah chapter 31. Did we read it? Okay, we read that. All right. So, reading that, what Jeremiah prophesied is he prophesied there's a new covenant that's coming. And this new covenant is going to be based on something else. It's going to be where God is going to put this thing in your heart. Now, why is it so important that he put the love in your heart? Because how many of you know you can do something for somebody? Let me use a case in point. This is me when I was a kid. And we used to come home from school sometime. We used to stay with a lady named Mrs. Griffin. And Mrs. Griffin would keep us and so forth until Mom and Dad came home and so forth. Well, I remember going over to Mrs. Griffin's house one time, and the road that she had in front of her house was part dirt, and it was unpaved. And she, because of it, some dust came up and so forth. So she wanted me to do some things having to do with cleaning the dust off of some things. And I didn't want to do it. I just kind of half did it. And she, when I finished, I said, I'm through, Miss Griffin. She said, William, come here, let me tell you something. And she looked me eye to eye and said, when I ask you to do something, if you don't want to do it, then tell me you don't want to do it. But don't do it and half do it, because you never wanted to do it. Let me give you another case. This particular man came and he visited the church because of his relatives. They brought him there. And when he visited there, the church, what happened was he was sitting way in the back, and the preacher finished preaching and gave the altar call to be born again. Well, he walked up there and pulled the preacher to the side. And he said, listen, I like what you're saying, and I think I want that. But I want to tell you something. He said, what is it? I like to dance. He said, well, you can dance if you want. He said, okay, if I come up and receive Christ, I can still dance? He said, yeah, you can dance if you want to. He said, okay. So he went, received Christ, and left. Came back in 2 weeks, very hostile. And he came to the preacher and he said, "Listen, I thought you told me I could dance." He said, "Yes, I sure did." He said, "You never told me I wouldn't want to." And so what happened is love takes the want to. It affects the want to. It's deeper than you just doing something mechanically and trying to please somebody and so forth, but it's in your heart. That love brings it right down here to where God wanted. He wants your heart. He wants, when he tells you to do something, for your heart to be all the way in it. And that's what love will do for you. Say amen to that. So this old idea about love is applied to the church. And over in James chapter 2 and verse 8, he talks about the royal law. And the royal law happens to be the law of love. And keeping this commandment of love, you would not want to steal anymore. Keeping this commandment of royal law of love, you would not want to lie anymore. Keeping this royal law of love, and so forth and so on. So we see this whole idea of love and how it changes a person's heart. But not only that, but it gives you a good opportunity to change your mind. The Bible talks about that we can renew the mind with the Word of God. So this mind, this heart, and this mind gets renewed. Why? So that the mind will act in concert with your heart. And so God wants that because he wants all of you. Say amen to that. So as we look at this and go deeper into this whole idea of love, then this law of love, or the law of the love of God, is going to come in our hearts, and it's going to fill up our hearts so that when we respond to things, we can respond to things as if God would respond to them. Let's go over here to Matthew's gospel, if you will. And over in Matthew chapter 5, he says something interesting here. And he says in verse 43, I'll start there. Now I'm going to read all this. I'm going to read it real quick because this is, I got to move on. He says this: "Have you heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy? But I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father," now get this, sons of God, "which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans or the religious people do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." So notice what God is doing. He's making us like him. I said he's making us like him. Now, there's a lot of things we're going to go into here, because love doesn't always mean you get real mushy and give anybody anything you want. That is not love. Sometimes love corrects. Come on now. Sometimes the best thing that love can do for you is not give you something to enable your condition. That's what love will do. And so if we look here, because we're not talking about leftover love, we're talking about God's kind of love. All right? So your idea is to let love dominate you. Now, when we see examples of this, we see in the book, in the Bible here, where there is a faith that works, but we found out that it works by love. Let's go to that scripture, please, in Galatians. The faith that worketh by love. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, he says, for... this is love part two, by the way, the power of love part two. "And for Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh how? By love." Now, a lot of times people like you to teach about faith, but they don't want you to teach about love. But the idea about it is those cannot be separated. For you to grow to your fullest potential in faith, you're going to have to grow in love. You're going to have to know something about love, and you're going to have to practice love. Say amen to that. Now, so as we walk in this, love gets related to a lot of things. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. I didn't go over this in the other session, but you're special. And Mark Gospel, chapter 11, along with the rest. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, in case anybody gets a CD. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Look at Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered and said to him, Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Check it out. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you've received them, and you shall what? Have them. Most of us stop right there and fail to read the next part that's got to do with love. And when you stand praying, you better, come on, I'm putting that in myself, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, this is interesting now because it's times when people come and they want to deal with faith, but they don't want to deal with love. And if you look at these scriptures, what we're talking about dealing with love, especially in dealing with forgiveness, you will find in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, if you would put it up there, please. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Look what he says here. Glory to God. He says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, your wife, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as unto, not she's weak, because she can have a baby, but boy, I ain't want to deal with that vessel. And as being heirs together of what? The grace of life, that your what? Prayers be not hindered. So you can get into strife at your house and no prayers will be answered. And you'd say, man, what's happening here? What's happening here is you need to get the love back in there. And the love has to be the love of God. Say, love of God. So let's take a couple of people and look at their lives here. And one is in Genesis chapter 45. In Genesis chapter 45, this is when Joseph was reunited with his brethren. In Genesis 45, verse 1, and Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto the brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Why do you think they were troubled? They thought he was going to kill him. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you've sold into Egypt. He was a slave. They treated him, they bound him up like a slave, and they sold him on an auction block. But look at his disposition. I want you to see something here. Now, understand how he's risen. How far up did he rise? He is second in command to Pharaoh. He's the prime minister of Egypt. And Egypt controlled most of the known world. So he was the man. He was the man. But not one time when he was in jail did he run down Mrs. Potiphar. Not one time did he talk about how so forth and so on. Why? He just kept his love walk going. I'm talking about you got to rise now, but you're going to have to keep your love walk going. He said, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to do what to your life? Preserve your life. See, God knew who to pick. He knew who to pick. I'm telling you, folks, I had never seen such persecution as when I started that bank. Now, I'm not going rehearsing nothing, but I've never seen such persecution. But I forgive every one of them. I love every one of them right now. Now, my point to you is, if they tried to come against my integrity, so forth and so on. And here it is, I can care less about it. I'm only putting this up because God said put him up. I'm only standing here in this pulpit teaching you because God said teach you. I'm going to Africa because God said go to Africa. I'm raising up the Joseph Business School because God said raise up the Joseph Business School. I'm telling you, I'm not doing this out of my own. If I do, if, listen, let that stuff be tested. My point to you is I'm not, my point to you is your heart can be right, then you can do the right thing, but people will come against you. Now, what you're going to have to do is make up your mind that I'm going to love them. I don't care if they talk about me, if they run me down, whatever they do, I'm going to love them. Say amen. Put up there Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, please. Luke 23 and verse 34. Bless his holy name. In Luke 23 and verse 34, he says this. Come on, please. Praise God. Then said Jesus, Father, what? Forgive them, for they what? Know not what they do. Now, he is up there, and they hung him up there. He's been crucified. They turned against him. Even the ones that he thought loved him, they turned their back and walked away from him at his critical time that he needed them. He needed their prayers. He needed their support, but they turned away. But yet, on his deathbed, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And I'm telling you, you got to make up your mind you're going to forgive somebody. And when you do forgive them, I got some good news for you. The power of love not only gives you the ability to forgive, it gives you the ability to forget. Say amen to that. Let's look at a couple more here. Daniel chapter 6. Put it up there, please. Over in Daniel chapter 6. This is in Daniel chapter 6. Glory to God. And look at verse 20. This is when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. Again, falsely. Look what it says. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom you serve continually, watch this, able to deliver you from the lions? Check it out. Then said Daniel unto the king, what? O king, live forever. Does that sound like a hostile man to you? Come on, this is a man that's going to stay in favor of the king no matter how he was treated by the king. Next verse. And God sent, my God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. That they have not hurt me, glory to God, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt, glory to God. Then was the king exceeding glad to him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they bring all those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, along with their kids, come on, their wife, come on, and everything that they had. Now, question, what would have happened to Daniel if he went down there and got into hate? Those lions would have tore him up. Love protects you. It protects you. I don't care what they did to you. You are not going to stand before Jesus and Jesus ask you this. What did they do to you? He's not going to ask you this. He's going to ask you, what did you do for them? Say amen to that. So I'm saying something that the world doesn't have this ability to forgive. Why? Because they don't have God inside. But you have a supernatural forgiveness ability. You can forgive a man. I don't care what he's done, what she's done, so forth and so on. And I'm saying, even in the household, the tendency is to forgive, but I ain't gonna forget it. Look at look at Isaiah chapter 43. I'm preaching now. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. God not only forgives you, but he forgets. Look what he says. Even I am he that blotteth out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not, what? Remember your sins. Let's look at the New Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, please, and verse 12. I want you to see that. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. He said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will what? Remember no more. Now, I'm going to show you as we move on this, if you hold somebody else in unforgiveness, God's going to hold you in unforgiveness. Come on now, because with the measure you meet, it's going to be measured back to you. Say amen to that. So what am I saying here? God does not work. In other words, if I ask forgiveness, not only does God forgive me, but God forgets about the transgression. In other words, he doesn't hold anything against me. You know how folks in the house bring up stuff from 1942. You know what you did back then in 42. No, forget that. That was the old man. The man died. I messed up. Yep, I asked God for forgiveness. He's forgiven me. Now, why don't you forgive me? Come on, let's walk in love and get this job done. Say amen to them. And so what am I saying? There is a reminder sometimes of our sins, and Satan is accuser of the brethren. His job is to remind you of every time you messed up. Now watch how this affects you. If God reminded you of your sins, then every time you came to pray, then the enemy will try, glory to God. Whenever you came to pray, what would happen because you didn't feel forgiven, then you go into condemnation. Now, if you went into condemnation, here's the verse for you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. I'm giving you much more than I gave the other group. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. He says this, For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Next verse, please. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have what? Confidence toward God. That's what I want you to see. What's another name for confidence? Come on. Faith. If you don't get condemned, you got faith flowing. And if you get before God and God, as soon as you get on your knees, he reminds you of what you did yesterday, you don't have any confidence. He can't do anything for you. So what does he know? He knows he's got to not only forgive you, come on, but he's got to forget it. This is not the right crowd. I'm going to wait on the next crowd. He's got to not only forgive you, but I'm telling you what's been your problem. You are still thinking and letting the accuser of the brethren make you think that God remembered what you did. If he said he doesn't remember, he doesn't remember. That's the power of love. The world doesn't have that kind of love. God can generate that kind of love. He treated that prodigal son just like he never did it. Now, who didn't treat him like that is the elder brother. What did the elder brother say? He slept with prostitutes. He's wasted all your money. But once he came home and a man cut the calf and cut blood flow and cut that calf, he said, if you confess your sin, come on, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just, come on, to forgive you your sin. Come on, come on, come on. And click and you see what that blood will do? That blood will not only get that thing out of the face of God, but that blood, to put it right there, but that blood will also get it so that you cannot have any condemning thoughts about it. It will purge your guilt. 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 One of the reasons people end back up in the situation, because their guilt is not purged. I'm telling you, let the blood flow, and it will purge your guilt. Anything doesn't make any difference. Kids out of wedlock, whatever it is, you don't let the devil hold that on you. You got born again, and you got new rights, and those rights are God loves you. Now, if you don't forget it, condemnation is there, it'll open the door to sickness. You're not there, condemnation is there, open the door to losing every business deal. Nothing's working. Open the door, you can't get along with anybody because the flesh is still ruling. You got to say, wait a minute, I'm going to receive this by faith. If God forgot it, I'm going to forget it. Now, I ain't gonna listen to that bucket mouth sister, what she said, or I ain't gonna listen to this big mouth brother, what he said. I'm gonna look to what God said. If God says I'm forgiven, bless God, I'm forgiven. If God says he gonna treat me like I never did it, bless God, I never. I didn't mean to preach that hard. Bible says, John 8:32, you shall know the truth. God wants you to fully handle his business. And you can't handle his business guilty. You're going to handle his business like a righteous king. Say amen to that. I know you did it. God knows you did it, but he forgot it. Now, if he forgot it, you better forget it. And don't let the devil bring it up to you ever again. He's trying to keep you in a place where he can manipulate your life and make you think you are not nothing. You can't go nowhere. You can't be nothing. Thank God you've got Jesus now. I don't care whether you've been in jail. I don't care whether you've been married 5 times. God's got to work for you. And I'm telling you right now, you brace up and receive his forgiveness and march on. Give God praise. I'm done. Hallelujah. It's gone. Somebody says it's in the sea of forgetfulness. No. It ain't nowhere. It's gone. It doesn't exist. You've got a past that doesn't exist. Now put that in your coffee and drink it. Praise God. He needs prayer. I'm talking to you now. You haven't been born again. You've never received Christ, so you've never really gotten advantage of this that I'm talking about right now. But this is your day. This is the day that you're going to receive the Master that's going to orchestrate the cleansing of your mind, your heart, and you're going to be able to do things you've never been able to do. Watch this. You're going to be able to receive stuff you've never been able to receive.